Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good? All right. Well, hey, my name's Kevin, and I just want to say Happy Father's Day. I know it's already been stated, but I want to say Happy Father's Day from a white-headed guy to a bunch of other white-headed guys out there, all right? And if it hasn't happened to you yet, you're looking into your future right now, all right? It's either white or it's not there. So anyway... It's like, and there's like 1% that'll prove me wrong in that, and you'll meet me out front. I realize that, all right, but it's good. I'm grateful. My dad's been gone for a few years, but I'm grateful for the influence of him in my life. And it wasn't always good influence, right? There was a lot of crummy things, in my upbringing, and I recognize that even in a day like today, we process all of that. Things that aren't necessarily always wonderful. And yet, there's still lessons to be learned through the hard stuff, through the things that I wished weren't necessarily a part of the story, but they were. And I didn't get to control that narrative, but I do get to control how I respond. And even at this point in my life. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful also for men in my life today, even here at The Well, other pastors, Mike's here, and Jack, and Danny is one of my elders, and just grateful for continued spiritual influence. I might be older than, maybe Mike, but in that, I'm just grateful that we have men and women here that are just incredibly in love with Jesus and his word. And we continue to get shaped in that. So I, as a white-headed guy, am still in the learning process and grateful for that. Of course, I spend a lot of my time opening and closing. Today, I get to walk with you through God's word for the next few minutes. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll land there in just a couple of moments. We've been walking through the book of Proverbs, a book centered around living with wisdom. And in week one, we explored kind of the big idea. Proverbs isn't just about good advice, but it's about God's knowledge applied for the sake of others. And it's about letting the Spirit of God and the Word of God shape us so that we can live well in God's world and his kingdom work and that we can serve others well. And in week two, just last week, we kind of leaned into the fear of the Lord, recognizing that it's not about being afraid, but really being in awe, being in submission to Jesus, not as a slave to a dictator, but as a child surrendering to a gracious Father who invites us all to fall in love with him and to walk in the good things that he is and that he wants ultimately for us. What Proverbs, I think, consistently shows us is that our heart posture toward God and others is constantly revealed through our choices. And one of the clearest and most visible expressions of that posture is found in our words. And so today we're going to talk about the path to wisdom in our words. Now, I want to caveat that for just a moment and tell you I am absolutely no expert by any means at doing this well. When I jumped onto this subject as we were looking at different Proverbs, I thought, my gosh, there's a ton in the Bible and in the Proverbs about our words. What I didn't pause to think was, I am an incredible example of most things not to do. All right, so fully in recovery in so much of this, all right? But one of the things I think is important for us to understand is that words are never just words. They're a window really to the condition of our heart. And according to Jesus, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's found in Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance, right, of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so our words are not just casual noise, but they're really spiritual indicators. And here's what I want you to hear today, that the words we use are the fruits that grow from the roots in our heart. It's the depth of our heart. And a healthy heart will speak like incredible healing. And yet a sick heart will speak unimaginable hurts. And I think we've probably been on both sides of that at some point in our life. And that's why we need to take responsibility for our words, not just what we say, but why we say it. Because we're accountable to God for every word ultimately that comes out of our mouth. And so in Proverbs chapter 18, if you'll look with me at verse 21, we'll kind of begin our time in this. Verse 21 of chapter 18, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grateful for this morning and for your word. God, would you help us to just recognize in our own hearts and be honest about where we're at and the work that ultimately needs to be done. Would we respond well to the work of your Holy Spirit in us this morning? We love you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, let me put this in perspective for you. Just with a little bit of research, they say that the average person spends about a fifth of their life talking. That's the average person. Now, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm well above average. As a matter of fact, some say that women speak more than men. And it was clarified in the office just the other day that I'm like a woman when it comes to this subject. And so I had to process that a little bit this week, all right? That was a little bit hard to deal with, you know? Even though I clearly knew already. But when we change and we use different words, all of a sudden I'm like, I don't think I like that, right? You know? And so in our own process, a fifth of our life. Now check this out. The average person speaks enough words in a lifetime to fill between 8,000 and 9,200 page books. That's enough to fill like a small to medium size library, public library. Now I realize many of us haven't been in a library in a long time, all right? I do want you to know I have a library card, but I'm just not the one that frequents the library in that sense. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of words. And I recognize that there are some today that you're like, well, I'm well below average, all right? So we all find ourselves somewhere in this. Our tongues may be small, but the impact is massive. James chapter 3 tells us this in verses 5 and 6. It says, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. I think you're gonna find in some of the scriptures today that talk about our tongue, you're gonna find interesting phrases that really for me just like stuck out, and you can't underline them enough, that our tongue really defiles the entire body. There's a great quote, Alistair Begg wrote this, "By words we can destroy our neighbor, crush the feelings of a friend, set fire to relationships between people. One wrong word may spoil a person's character, smear a person's reputation, mar the usefulness of someone's life for a very long time as a result of the use of words to harm." Our tongue is powerful. Can I pause for a second and remind you that many of us were taught sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt, should never hurt, right? And I just wanna tell you, if you were a parent that taught your kids that, you lied to them. And if you're a young parent, don't lie to your kids. Because words hurt. And when pride is engaged, even in a greater way, we're going to talk more about the root of our heart. Man, it's even more powerful as we speak those words, but also even receive those words. We realize that these destructive words show themselves in all sorts of ways. Gossip seems to be prevalent in our communities. Slander seems to be the norm. I mean, gosh, just turn on any news station that you choose. Lying, even talking too much, carries the potential to bring about harm. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, when it says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, that's Kevin Manning's proverb, right? Because the more you talk, you're going to say something that you wish you took back, you could take back. And how many have ever felt like, gosh, I wish I could take that back? How many of us have ever said before, well, I didn't mean that, right? That's not what I meant. Well, that's what we said. And so the damage has been created in all of it. But here's what we forget and sometimes really choose not to remember. And that is that our words are a reflection of our heart. And I think God takes both very, very seriously. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for on the day of judgment. And so let that sink in, that God hears every word. And then the words that follow up those words as we try to justify what we just spoke. So oftentimes what we do is we speak words that potentially harm, and then we do more harm by trying to then fix the harm we caused, as opposed to taking responsibility for those words in confession and repentance. I think words are really a spiritual temperature gauge. They help us recognize both the coolness of the room and the heat of the room. They both cause what might be a cool temperature in a room or the heat that exists in a room. So how do we begin to honor God with our words? Because it starts really beneath the surface. Again, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, the good man brings out his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So it's not just a speech issue. It's a heart issue. If you were to pause and think about your words just this past week, did you speak life or death to your spouse? Did your words build up or tear down your children? Did you represent Jesus in a way when you talked about your coworkers? Were you quick to defend yourself, or were you quick to listen? Because if the fruit is bitter, then we really need to examine the root. And where did this come from? And you know, as I wrote this out, I thought to myself, wait a minute. For some reason, it just made me pause, and I begin to think about weeds, like weeds that I have in my yard. And summer's here, right? And so it's like weeds, just they just grow. It's really incredible. And in my life, there's been a few different ways that I've handled weeds. I've used Roundup because that is truly the simplest way. But the unique thing about Roundup is that now you have a dead weed. It's like carnage. You didn't like the weed to begin with, so you killed it, but it's still there, right? Isn't that interesting? Now, you can also use a hula hoe in a lazy way, right? Do we know what hula hoes are, right? Anybody? All right. Six of us. That's awesome. So if your children don't know what a hula hoe is, take them to Depot and buy one, all right? You can use a hula hoe, but if you don't put the proper effort into it, all you're doing is glancing the weed at the top, right? You're not getting underneath and getting the root. And so you're cutting the weed, but you're leaving the roots, which means what? It's going to just grow back, right? So you put effort in, but you didn't actually take care of the root. And the reality is that the third and really best way to take care of our weeds is what? Is to get on our knees and put effort in, man, and pull it from the roots. And those weeds are pesky, right? And you know, I even learned this, that sometimes when you pull a weed, if you're not careful and you're too wild about it, like that weed will actually drop seeds just to come back at you. And I sometimes feel like when we have those sinful roots in our heart, what happens is our words speak. And then we say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna clean that up. I've gotta clean that up, right? I'm gonna stop cussing, right? And I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands who said that before, but I'm gonna stop with that cursing, right? Which is awesome for about a day and a half until you break that promise. And then what? Why is that? It's because there's ultimately root. It's like plucking a weed from the top and the roots still there and everything. We can quickly become, moralistic about even this topic today, right? Let's just clean up our mouth, but it's far, far deeper than just that. Let's take a look at a few more Proverbs that have something to say. Matter of fact, we'll read a couple of Proverbs. We'll read a couple other passages from the New Testament also. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says this, that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We've all experienced that. As a matter of fact, we've probably been on both sides of that at some point. I would say we probably lean towards one of those sides in our lives. It's just our DNA, our character, right? And so again, an indicator. I think when we read this, it's a reminder that our words can either de-escalate conflict or pour fuel on the fire. I'm one that often thinks I'm being funny. Anybody else out there? You just think you're really funny? That was even more awkward because there's only two hands. So three of us in this room sometimes think we're really funny, only to find out that our humor stung. But also, we, the three of us, have to recognize that in our life, that humor came from a root, right? And we have to be able to acknowledge that. I think this reflects, ultimately, can reflect a heart aligned with God. While impulsive or harsh words expose inner turmoil in our hearts and often lead to a deeper relational brokenness, it can also see in this that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And in our culture today, and in the world we're living in, God's people need to have a gentle answer. But they need to answer. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. This is one of those scriptures I mentioned earlier. There's just certain phrases that I think you can't underline enough. I think we've used a phrase before because people's words like felt like we were stabbed in the back. And yet this gives a picture, and I don't really have a lot of experience with a sword, probably like you, but I'm picturing these thrusts of a sword. And that's the way the scriptures describe these rash words. This shows the destructive power of careless and unfiltered speech. And it wounds like a weapon in the hands of someone who's reckless. And yet, there's a contrast in there. When our words flow from a heart shaped by God's wisdom, they carry the power to mend and restore and ultimately reflect Christ's healing presence that we can be a part of. James 1:26 says it this way, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, the man's religion is worthless. Wow. James warns really that true devotion to God is not measured by an outward appearance. It's not about where you show up on a Sunday morning at 8:30. It has deeper consequences than all of that. But it's really an inward discipline that shapes our speech. A tongue left unchecked reveals a self-deceived heart. showing that authentic faith always produces words marked by restraint, grace, and godly purpose. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment." And then here's one of those phrases, "so that it will give grace to those who hear." Have you ever considered your words to be grace for those who hear? This wrecked me. Because as God's people, we're to be operating in grace, and we're so reliant upon the grace that God gives us, unmerited favor, something we don't even deserve, and yet he gives it to us. And yet often, Kevin Manning's speech can be so rough and so harsh in all of it. And so Paul in this is just calling believers to speak with intentionality, using words that build up rather than tear down. I think this shows us that Spirit-led speech is not only restrained from harm, but actively aims to meet others with timely encouragement and grace that reflects the heart of Christ. And I really think what we're talking about today is transformation. We need our hearts transformed. We don't need more communication tips. We need transformed hearts. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the deep work in us. This, just a few weeks ago, I was very fortunate to get to commence from our staff regen here over like a 10-month process of just walking through some deep work in my own life. My heart had grown callous to the world and to those around me. I don't think everybody saw that because I really did everything. I put more effort in trying to hide that from people, but it was there. I allowed hurts done to me and hurts that I had caused in other people's lives, along with fear of failing or even the mere perception of, to really own me. I was afraid of disappointing others in my life, and I allowed it to affect my speech, my actions, and all that was ultimately rooted in my heart. I blamed others, all the while faking my way through life and even in ministry. And there's still a sting to saying that. And yet, I can experience freedom of bringing that to the light and experiencing God's best for me. I'm grateful to be able to walk and say, "Good morning, my name is Kevin and I have a new life in Christ." And you're supposed to say, "Good morning, yeah. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? You guys are just leaving me up here, man, to hang today." It's all right, we're good. I'm gonna hang out with you in the courtyard afterwards. I'm grateful that God is recovering me from codependency and anger, people pleasing and fear of failure and disappointment. Today I know that I'm fully forgiven, fully accepted, fully known, which is a big one, and fully loved. And that's the work and the hard stuff that we've gotta be ready to allow God to do. I want to invite you to Regen on Monday nights. Caveat, just not this Monday night because Summer Palooza. And if you need me to meet you here, I'll meet you here. I'll walk with you in and we'll hang out. Let's look for just a couple minutes at a couple other stories, and I think how words are so interesting. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the fall of man. We have the serpent who took the words of God. God used words to speak life, creation. That is the origin of words. And yet just a couple chapters later, here's the serpent using these words and just twisting them, right? Just changing them a little bit. Just a subtle change. But they're very deceptive. And we can use our words for deception and recognize that we are living, we have to recognize that we're ultimately living in sin. And those are lies and they're rooted in sin. Moses, in Exodus chapter 4, God is calling him to lead his people. Kind of a big thing. And he began to make up excuses because he wasn't confident. And one of his main things was that he didn't speak well. He stuttered. And I love God's response in this. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, God said to Moses, who's made man's mouth? Like, I just love that it's just this beautiful picture of, like, we begin to use our words to make excuses, and yet God has said, I created you for greater things. We don't need your excuses. We just need you to submit to me in all of it. And then Peter had incredible words of betrayal as he sat with Jesus before he was arrested, promising him over and over that he would never, ever betray him, ever, never deny him. And then as Jesus in Luke chapter 22 was arrested, it was a very, very short time later when people began to identify Peter as one of them that was with Jesus. And of course, if you know the story, he denied him three times and heard with his own ear the very thing that Jesus said was going to happen. And he heard a rooster crow. And in that moment, Peter was broken as Jesus turned and looked at him. Can you imagine that look? You remember the look from your father, your mother, when you did wrong? And so in that moment, Peter remembered the words that the Lord had told him, before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And it says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Such a powerful moment. But what I want to point you to is that we are all a work in progress that God is wanting to shape. And what I love about this story is we find in John chapter 21 that Jesus later restored Peter with his words. And it says this in verse 15 of John chapter 21, it says, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he said to him, tend to my lambs. And of course, this text goes on. Jesus repeats this exchange two more times, slightly varying the words, and ends by saying, he says, shepherd my sheep, right? He says, tend my sheep. And I really believe this is the part of the message we've got to grasp today, because we all need help with our words. We all need help with our hearts. But what I love about this passage is that Jesus addressed Peter personally and tenderly, calling him Simon, son of John, just as he did when they first met. This reminded Peter of their relationship and maybe his original calling to be a disciple. He asked him three times, do you love me? Maybe he was mirroring Peter's three denials. And maybe, you know, this wasn't about shaming him, but to fully restore him, one of these just reaffirmations of love after each of those denials. And then he reaffirmed Peter's purpose and calling when he told them to tend my lambs and shepherd my sheep. Because Jesus wasn't discarding Peter because of his failure. He was entrusting him again with leadership and care for his people. You see, Jesus restored Peter. He didn't ignore him. And I think that's what we have to recognize today, is that God has this incredible calling for you, and he's inviting you into a relationship with him, regardless of whether you have already embraced the gospel or you never, ever have embraced the gospel. The call is to this morning do just that and surrender your life to him and embrace the gospel. And maybe for those that have already done that, and yet you just have some bitter roots in your heart, and you know that because of the way that you speak. No more excuses. No more trying to cover up our words. I think we need to become people, like Proverbs says, who guard our hearts. Right? That's Proverbs 4:23. I think Proverbs 10:19 tells us to speak with wisdom and restraint. These are the people that we need to be. Proverbs 16:24 says to use words that heal and give life. And Proverbs 16:1 tells us to trust God to shape our speech from the inside out. What I love about this is that we can all recognize so simply that we have heart work to do. And God's not casting us away because we've been so harsh and ugly with our words. He's ultimately inviting us in so that he, through the work of his Holy Spirit, can do work in us to form us and to shape us into the person that he's called us to be by saying, Kevin Manning, I called you out of darkness, out of bondage. It's for freedom that Christ set us free so that we don't have to go back to the bondage that we once lived in. And so this morning, I think it's important for all of us to recognize that God loves us. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and it starts with a heart transformation. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us, for giving us a hope and a future. God, I pray that this morning you'll help us not to just focus on the fact that we're real good with ugly words at times, but God, that we'll focus this morning on the fact that you love us in such a unique way that you want to invite us back into a relationship with you. Or for maybe for some, you're inviting some into starting a relationship with you by simply confessing and believing that you are the Son of God, that they would embrace the gospel this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.